Let me ask this morning, what do we have in common with the Apostle Paul and the early church? The answer to that can be found in the passage that we just read, and particularly Colossians chapter 1 and verse 6. The New Living Translation writes it this way: "This same gospel that came to you, it's going out all over the world. It's bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your life from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace." Isn't that amazing? I mean, Paul, when he's writing this letter, he's in a prison in Ephesus, and he's writing this letter to the Colossians, and he's saying, this same gospel that came to you in Colossae, it's going out all over the world. That was a very bold statement. Paul also wrote another letter to the church in Rome and to the believers there. And in Romans chapter 15 and verse 20, Paul says, "It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I will not build upon another man's foundation. And that's why I have been so often hindered in coming to you." Just think about that. That Paul wasn't able to go to Rome because he was so busy on his three missionary journeys, visiting all these places where Christ had not been known. And he started churches. He planted churches all along the way. And then he sent people like Timothy and Titus and Epaphroditus to go and to follow up and disciples and those churches. And then in chapter 15, verse 23, Paul says, "But now there is no more work for me to do in these regions. And so I hope to come to visit you in Rome on my way to Spain." Now, that's amazing that Paul could say, there's no work for me to do. You know, it's been my ambition, my goal, my calling from the Lord Jesus Christ to go preach the gospel where Christ is not known, but there's no more work for me in these regions. And so I'm open to visit you on my way to Spain, because Christ isn't made known yet there in Spain. You know, it's not been since the early church and Paul wrote those words that we can say the same thing. The gospel this morning is going out all over the world. It's being spread in the Czech Republic. It's over there with the Timothy Initiative in Africa. It's happening in Southeast Asia. This same gospel that came to you here in Speculator at North Country, it's going out all over the world. And it's bearing fruit by changing lives. Did you know that there are over 7,000 languages spoken in the world today? 7,000. Of those 7,000, 750 of those languages have a full Bible in their language. Now, those would be the major languages of the world. 750 have a full Bible. Another 1,700 languages have at least a New Testament in their language. And then there are another 2,650 some languages that have at least some portion of God's Word in their language. Maybe the Gospel of Luke and the Jesus film. Something in their language. 2,650 some. So, how many languages are left? Like, how many languages don't yet have God's Word in their language? Well, in the year 2000, that number was over 3,000 languages. Fast forward to 2020, 20 years later, in 2020, that number dropped from over 3,000 down to 2,000. I just checked the statistics as of April 1st, this month, and from January of 2020 until 2024, here in April, that number has dropped from 2,000 down to 1,216 languages left. That's 800 languages in the last 4 years when COVID was raging. That's amazing. God is doing something amazing. The gospel, this same gospel that came to you, it's going out all over the world. It's bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives. In the year 2000, in the country of Indonesia, where Kathy and I serve, there we were able to document 156 unreached people groups. Now, an unreached people group is, you know, a people that have their own language and culture and ethnic identity, their own group, and they're less than 2% Christian. So if they're less than 2% Christian, we call them still unreached. The majority of those 156 were not only unreached, they were unengaged, which means there was no Christian presence. There was no sustained like missionary movement or presence or church in those groups. Today, in Indonesia, the number of unengaged peoples went from like 137. Today, there's 11. And there are plans in place, teams that are being trained right now, that by next year, those will have, God willing, a sustained gospel presence. There will be no more unengaged peoples in Indonesia. This same gospel that came to you, it's going out all over the world. And it's bearing fruit by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's Word. And that's the key. It's not just hearing the gospel, but it's hearing with understanding. Hearing with understanding. And that, when we hear with ears to hear by the Holy Spirit, lives are changed. So how is this acceleration of the gospel happening? I mean, what is the Lord doing? How is this happening? Well, it's happening in a number of ways. The first is through multiplication. It used to be when Kathy and I were sent out in the 80s to be Bible translators, and we went to the Luang people, we went there and we learned their language, and they didn't have a written language, so we had to develop an alphabet for the people. We had to teach the people how to read and write in their own language, and it was a very pioneering situation. The context today is so different. Now what we're doing, instead of us going out and doing all the work ourselves, we're training others. We're working with local churches. and we're raising them up so that they can go out and equipping them and training them. And so it's through this multiplication of effort. It used to be that there was like about a dozen organizations in the world that were doing Bible translation. Now there are literally hundreds and hundreds of organizations and churches, if not thousands, that are involved in Bible translation. That's how we can see this acceleration happening. God's just raising up the church. It's not a bunch of specialists on the side anymore. The second way that God is bringing about is through this new thing of what the Holy Spirit is doing to bring ministries together. And so now, it used to be that, you know, churches, everybody would have their own sort of strategic plan, and they would go, and they would, and it would all be siloed kind of ministries. But nowadays, there's all this collaboration and networking and ministries working together. Wycliffe works very closely with the Jesus film, for example, in doing translation, and groups like Faith Comes by Hearing, which does the recording of Scripture, and all organizations. This collaboration is bringing about this spiritual synergy of effort that's leading to this acceleration of the gospel. The third way that's happening is through, which won't be any surprise to you, but it's through the internet. Right? And through sharing the gospel, and we have this what we call media to movements, a whole network of ministries. And so what media to movements is all about is they target closed countries, places like Iran and North Korea and Yemen and all these places that are closed with the gospel, and we're developing content in the languages and getting it up on all kinds of social media platforms. And you know what? The Spirit of God is creating a hunger in people in these closed countries that their spiritual needs are not met. And so they go searching, and they might be afraid to talk to somebody, but they're not afraid to get on the internet and to go searching. And when they find these sites that we've put up, that Media to Movements puts up, and we help to translate content for these Media to Movements sites, that when they get up there and they start looking in that, and then they can engage, they can immediately respond. And it's sort of, and what happens is that when they write a message like, "Oh, wow, I just saw your website. That was really cool. Can you tell me more?" There's somebody, an online missionary on the other end, that receives that and responds. And there's this texting that goes back and forth. And when discipleship happens, and they get to a certain point in their journey, the question is asked, would you like to meet with somebody in person? And if they say yes, we do our best to find out where that person is and to go meet with them. And 70% of those people who ask to meet with a missionary in person come to faith in Jesus Christ and are discipled. The fourth way that this acceleration of the gospel is happening is through this massive migration of peoples, right? So there's all this conflict and turmoil and wars going on in Syria, right? And in Afghanistan and in the Ukraine with Russia and all over the world, in Myanmar. There are just all kinds, and there's all kinds of people are just, you know, leaving and going to other countries, looking for safety for their families. And as they leave their homelands, as they're fleeing, of course, there's all these, you know, refugee kind of ministries that are happening. And people are encountering the gospel, not in their homeland, but because they've come out of their homeland. And you know what? Whether we like it or not, people are pouring over the borders, the southern borders and the northern borders of our country by the tens of thousands. Whether we want them to or not, it's happening. They're coming into our country, and they're not just coming from Latin America. They're coming from everywhere in the world, and they're coming here. And it's their opportunity to hear the gospel. And so I want to ask you, what's your part? As I look around North Country, I'm excited about this church. I think about who is the next missionary that's sitting right here today that God is going to send out to some unreached people that haven't heard the gospel. And not just overseas, but right here. Who knows, these tens of thousands of people that are pouring out, how many of them might end up here in this community, that God would bring them for such a time as this. Why? Because God knows North Country is here. The gospel is here. And so I want to encourage you to take the gospel. Well, how do I do that? Well, first of all, you need to think about who God is laying on your heart. I'm sure that you're already praying for family and friends, colleagues, co-workers, somebody in your life who doesn't know Jesus. And you're praying for them. And as you pray for them, ask God to open up the doors for a spiritual conversation that you can have with them. So as you're having coffee, you know, with somebody sometime, and you're talking about all kinds of things, right? Have it in your mind to say, hey, when was the, you know, tell me about the time that was the most difficult time in your life, and how did you get through it? And let them tell that story. And then they might turn to you and say, well, what about you? When did you have a difficult time? And then you can share not only about the challenge and the thing that you went through, the pain and the turmoil, but you can share how God helped you through it. You know, when we share the gospel with people or whatever, you know, people can, you know, they can be argumentative or like, oh, I don't believe the Bible's true. Oh, Jesus never came and lived and died. And they, you know, and they're just disagreeable. They just don't want to hear it. But you know one thing that they cannot disagree with? And that is your personal testimony. No one can deny what Jesus Christ has done for you in your life and your heart and how He's transformed you and filled you with confident hope and with this joy. And so be bold and share your story, because they can't argue that. They can't say, oh, that never happened to you. They can't say that. And they'll listen. And the seed of the gospel. And be prepared for that time when someone will turn to you and you say, you know, I look at you and there's just something different about you. You have this hope, this joy that in your life, and where do you get that? How can you live like that in this world? What is it? And there's an open door right there. Be prepared to share the hope of the gospel that was in you. You know, Paul said, the gospel is the power of God to salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or the Gentile. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. And be prepared to pray with that person and lead them to faith and bring them to church and get them into a discipleship group. That's how God wants to use you. You know what Jesus said as He was, before He left this earth, right? Before He went to the cross, He was with His disciples, right? On the Temple Mount there. And His disciples asked them, they said, you know, look at these big stones and all of this. And, you know, when is it, Lord, that you know, you're going to, that your kingdom will come? What is the sign that you're going to, you know, bring in your kingdom? And in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus then, he shares all these signs, right? He talks about wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and pestilences or pandemics and all these things, which, I mean, that's just like everyday life in our world today, right? All those signs, there isn't anything that's missing. And the last on that list in Matthew 24, verse 14, Jesus says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it. And then the end will come." All nations, in the Greek, is ethne, where we get our word ethnic group. It means people group. It doesn't mean nation states. When all people groups have heard, then the end will come. My friends, this same gospel that came to you, it's going out all over the world. It's bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives. Just as it changed your life from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank You that we have this privilege of living in this generation when we can see the accomplishment, Lord, of the Great Commission, that we're all people groups, Lord, would hear the gospel. Lord, that there would no longer be any unengaged peoples. But through migrations and through the internet, Lord, and through collaboration, and Father, through this multiplication that You are bringing about by Your Spirit, Lord, that Your kingdom would come, that Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so, Father, I pray that as we go from this place, that we would go under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, Father, and our spiritual antennas up, looking for these spiritual conversations. And Father, being prepared to share the hope of the gospel that is within us, and to be a part of what You're doing, and to be ready for Your soon coming. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.